Sean McCann, Book 3, Chapter 22, of the Ecclesiastical History of England of Venerable Bede. How under King Sigbert, through the preaching of Sieve, the East Saxons again received the faith which they had before cast off. Year of our Lord, 653. At that time also the East Saxons, at the insistence of King Orsri, again received the faith which they had formerly cast off, when they expelled Mellitus, their bishop. For Sigbert, who reigned next to Sigbert, surnamed the Little, was then king of that nation, and a friend to King Orsri, who, when Sigbert came to the province of the Northumbrians to visit him, as he often did, used to endeavour to convince him that those could not be gods that had been made by the hands of men, that a stock or a stone could not be proper matter to form a god. The residue whereof was either burned in the fire, or framed into any vessel for the use of men, or else was cast out as refuse, trampled on, and turned into dust. That God was rather to be understood as incomprehensible in majesty and invisible to human eyes, almighty, eternal, the creator of heaven and earth and of mankind, who governs and will judge the world in righteousness, whose eternal abode must be believed to be in heaven, and not in base and perishable metal, and that it ought in reason to be concluded that all those who learn and do the will of him by whom they were created will receive from him eternal rewards. King Orsui, having often, with friendly counsel like a brother, said this and much more to the like effect to King Sigbert, at length aided by consent of his friends, he believed, and after he had consulted with those about him, he exhorted them. And when they all agreed and assented to the faith, he was baptized with them by Bishop Finan, in the king's township above spoken of, which is called At the Wall, because it is close to the wall which the Romans formerly drew across the island of Britain, at the distance of 12 miles from the eastern coast. King Sigbert, having now become a citizen of the eternal kingdom, returned to the seat of his temporal power, requesting of King Orsui that he would give him some teachers to convert his nation to the faith of Christ, and cleanse them in the fountain of salvation. Whereof Orsui, sending into the province of the Midland Angles, summoned the man of God, Sieve, and giving him another priest for his companion, sent them to preach the word to the East Saxons, when these two, travelling to all parts of that country, had gathered a numerous church to the Lord. It happened once that Seed returned home, and came to the church of Lindisfarne, to confer with Bishop Finan, who, finding that the work of the gospel had prospered in his hands, made him bishop of the nation of the East Saxons, calling to him two other bishops to assist at the ordination. Seed, having received episcopal dignity, returned to his province, and pursuing the work he had begun, with more ample authority, built churches in diverse places, and ordained priests and deacons to assist him in the word of faith and the ministry of baptism, especially in the city, which in the language of the Saxons is called Yithencaster, as also in that which is named Tilleburg. The first of these places is on the bank of the Pant, the other on the bank of the Thames. In these, gathering a flock of Christ's servants, he taught them to observe the discipline of a rule of life, as far as those rude people were then capable of receiving it. Whilst the teaching of the everlasting life was thus, for no small time, making daily increase in that province, to the joy of the king and of all the people, it happened that the king, at the instigation of the enemy of all good men, was murdered by his own kindred. They were two brothers who did this wicked deed, and being asked what had moved them to it, they had nothing else to answer but that they had been incensed against the king and hated him, because he was too apt to spare his enemies, and calmly forgave the wrongs they had done him upon their entreaty. Such was the crime for which the king was killed, because he observed the precepts of the gospel with a devout heart. But in his innocent death, his real offence was all punished. according to the prediction of the man of God. For one of those nobles that murdered him was unlawfully married, and when the bishop was not able to prevent or correct the sin, he excommunicated him, and commanded all that would give ear to him not to enter this man's house, nor to eat of his meat. But the king made light of this command, and being invited by the noble, went to a banquet at his house. As he was going thence, the bishop met him. The king, beholding him, immediately dismounted from his horse, trembling, and fell down at his feet, begging pardon for his offense. For the bishop, who was likewise on horseback, had also alighted. Being much incensed, he touched the prostrate king with the rod he held in his hand, and spoke thus with the authority of his office: I tell thee, forasmuch as thou wouldest not refrain from the house of that sinful and condemned man, thou shalt die in that very house. Yet it is to be believed that such a death of a religious man not only blotted out his offense, but even added to his merit, because it happened on account of his piety and his observance of the commands of Christ. Sigbert was succeeded in the kingdom by Seidelhelm, the son of Sexbald, who was baptized by the same seed in the province of the East Angles, in the royal township called Rendlesham, that is, Rendel's dwelling, and Ethelwald, king of the East Angles, brother of to Anna, king of the same people, received him as he came forth from the holy font. End of chapter 22 of the Ecclesiastical History of England, a Venerable Bede.